Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, I'm here at Fernwood Studios with a wonderful group of people, patriots, people that really care about this country, members of CCTA, mostly made up of chairs of the different boards that we have. We have boards like our Watchdog Committee, our Legislative Action Committee. We have Education Committee.
National Security.
Glenn, our chair, has pointed out in the past that it's real easy to run this outfit because those committees just take the ball and run with it and are self-directed, and we have accomplished a lot. But one of the things we do is try to educate people about the Constitution. And one of the ways we do that is we study a book called The 5,000 Year Leap. And every now and then I'll pick it up and I'll be looking at it. And I did that the other day. And one of the things that is so relevant right now with this election cycle that's going on and all the things that's going on with WikiLeaks. With WikiLeaks and the FBI and all, is the book 5,000 Year Leap is based on the 28 Principles of Liberty. And this one, I believe, is principle number 3. The most promising method of securing a virtuous and morally stable people is to elect virtuous leaders. Well, if we had done that over the past 50 years, would we be in this mess now?
No, absolutely not.
We've got a few, but far too few.
Look at all the scandals. Look at all the corruption that's been, and it's on both sides.
Yep.
It comes from everywhere. Matter of fact, if you go up to D.C., I think, I can't remember if it was 18 or 28 of the richest counties in the country surround D.C. Mm.
Yeah.
And that's revealing. That tells you a whole lot of what the problem is. There's so much money to be made that just about everybody that goes up there gets corrupted.
And I've heard Nan talking about the net worth of everybody that's in Congress, the House and the Senate, and how the majority of people who've been there any length of time at all have gotten pretty darn prosperous. In fact, one might say wealthy.
And it's not only the Congress, it's the business people that do business with Congress.
Right.
When you look at most of the representatives and senators, I'm just using that as the generic words, they get reelected because they take everybody's money and return it to their district. Rather than trying to be frugal with the spending, they're measured by what can you give me?
Yeah.
And I've heard they'll take contributions from both sides of an issue. Then just anybody that's willing to give some money and talk to them on the issue, they're willing to do that. So.
Well, nothing's sacred to them. Even the White House is for sale, you know.
Oh, boy, yeah.
We've learned that a lot of things in D.C. are for sale. Before we go any further, though, let's introduce who's with us. Mary.
Yes.
Good to have you with us.
Thank
Kim.
You.
Kim.
Hello.
Rainer.
Hey.
Glenn. Hal
James.
Mm-hmm. And Bob.
Hi. And Rick.
I did that at the beginning. Getting back to the third principle, it was Samuel Adams that pointed out a sobering fact concerning our political survival as a free people when he said the following: "But neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. He therefore is the truest friend to the liberty of his country who tries most to promote its virtue, and who, so far as his power and influence extend, will not suffer a man to be chosen into any office of power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man."
Change that to person these days.
Yes.
Thank you.
There.
And we've become complacent where we're not watchdogs throughout trying to make sure that they are virtuous people. That
right.
We're
well, that's
not
a problem
watching.
We have during this election is I've had so many people tell me we don't have a choice for a virtuous person they don't feel like.
What's happened is we have started electing our representatives based on an ideology instead of the principles that we were founded on. And the parties are now voting their legislators in based on their social position on abortion, on marriage, on the transgender situation, instead of the security of the country, instead of the economy of the country. It's the social justice and the feelings, and we have become politically corrupt in that. And I think that a big part of the last election was the evangelicals that stayed home because of some of the moral social issues. And there's a book that my husband has been looking at called Well Versed, and he's got some really interesting insight that I'd like for him to share.
Well, I guess first of all, even before we get into the details of that, but this is the Christian side of the perspective. The framers and the people at that time saw the development of the U.S. Constitution as being actually influenced and guided and governed by the hand of God, and the Constitution didn't give anybody any rights. It was clear to those folks they were God-given rights, they were natural rights, mm-hmm. and everybody had them from birth.
Right, and mm-hmm. let me interrupt you real quick, getting back to the principles of liberty. To back up what you just said, the first three principles here, the only reliable basis for sound government and just human relation is natural law, and natural law is God's law.
Right.
Number two, a free people cannot survive under a Republican constitution unless they remain virtuously morally strong. I'm going to skip to number four. Without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. All things were created by God, therefore upon him all mankind are equally dependent, and to him they were equally responsible. So, you know, that just backs up what you're saying. Our founders got their guidance, their inspiration, and I think they were influenced tremendously by their faith.
Yeah, and as I've said a lot, you know, being a full citizen is not a spectator sport. If you look at how the elections go, somewhere around 15% decide who gets from the primary to the general election. And these are registered voters, 15% of that body, not the whole population, or even those that are eligible to vote. And then about 30% decide who wins the general. And this is the population in general, but Christians specifically tend to be absent from all this. And they have to step up.
Well, you know, this particular election is going a little better than that. Oftentimes, I've heard from talking to Melanie Ray, who's the director of the Board of Elections here, that
in Craven County,
right, I'm sorry, let me make that clear, that oftentimes maybe 30-35% of people turn out. In 2012, so far we were, I think, about 5,000, if I remember what she told me, ahead of the 2012 election, another presidential election. But the amazing thing at this time is that we've had 20-some thousand people come to vote, 22, 23, something like that, close of business at this time.
Close of business what day?
Close of business on Tuesday. So anyway, she also said there are 57,000 active voters. There's a lot of people that are registered to vote but haven't voted in years, and they've been basically taken off the rolls as inactive. So you have 57,000 active voters, and we've already had 20-some thousand. And typically, more people will vote on election day than in early voting. So it looks like that we could really push 65, 70, maybe even as much as 80% of
right.
those 57,000 voters. The records are going to be broken
right.
this year, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, getting back to what Glenn was saying there, a church I used to attend, you know, y'all been around me enough to know if I've got it on my mind, I'll say it. So I was very outspoken, and I was told that we didn't need politics in the church.
Oh, my goodness.
To which my response was, you're right. But we need the church in politics.
That's right. And that's the point.
And I think that's where you're going.
Well, I mean, obviously the term separation of church and state, you know, and that
let's clarify.
Oh, I know. Right.
Abused.
And it's used to express an understanding of the intent and function of the Establishment Clause and Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which is intent is that that clause is to limit the power of the federal government in regard to religious freedom in the United States. So it is to keep the government out. It is clear about that.
That's right. And that's
and
the problem.
And it is not to prevent the churches from doing whatever they want.
That's right. The problem. You've got too many liberal professors nowadays that are teaching a totally different view. The Constitution has been turned upside down, inside out, and you're told that it, and it's in very plain language.
Right.
But if you take the time to go back, think about why the Constitution was written and why those people were here in the first place. They were escaping a tyrannical government.
And they wanted religious freedom.
And they went right, because over there they didn't have that.
Well, what's turned this issue really into something more challenging is the Johnson Amendment.
Yes.
And that was all about taxes, but in the process of doing that, it really made it illegal for pastors to endorse candidates.
Right.
And totally then, inappropriate.
Right. And then some of the discussion that gets out there, well, if there's two candidates and you know one is pro-abortion and one is pro-life, and you preach about you shouldn't vote for pro-abortion, is that endorsing the candidate or not? No, that's, I'm just saying the interpretation right. can get out there, so they end up stepping back completely away from this instead of taking a strong biblical principle.
Right.
And that's really what this book really focused on. It was, these aren't political issues. These are biblical issues.
Biblical and moral issues.
And I'll kind of wrap up on my perspective on this. Just a few excerpts from this, and this isn't exactly quoted, but again, it's well-versed. Biblical Answers to Today's Tough Issues by James L. Garlow. And back, it says, if a pastor would have said some years ago that tearing up a baby in the womb is a bad thing, people would have responded, of course it is. Say it today, and some will say, Pastor, you're being way too political. Or if the practice of homosexuality is regarded as an abomination, again, you know, you're getting way too political. Or marriage is between a man and a woman. You're getting too political. Or God still has a plan for Israel. Or the national debt is too high and immoral. Or socialism is a bad thing. They say you're getting too political.
Right.
Right. These are biblical issues, and and you can go and find the answer. It's not a right or left. It's a right versus wrong.
Right.
Amen.
And the biblical position is right.
The other thing to look at here is to go back and look at the history of the role that the church played in the American Revolution and in the Civil War in terms of what was preached from the pulpits. Mm-hmm. The church, first of all, when the Pilgrims and the Puritans came here, Harvard University was established so that they could fill their pulpits with Americans rather than having to import pastors and priests from England. They wanted to be separate from England and they wanted to be free to practice their religion. That was the founding of Harvard. And the church was the center of community life and it provided a moral compass for the community. Now, we somehow have lost that. Where the church is afraid to provide that moral compass because it could be political. But morals aren't political. Morals are different.
Right.
And we need to remember the role of the church in history.
And it wasn't just the pulpits.
Mm-hmm.
It was often the town square.
Mm-hmm.
If you study or Google, as everybody does nowadays, Black Robe Regiment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the king wanted his British troops to eliminate those pastors. And they called them the Black Robe Regiment because they were the ones in the black robes going around into town squares and all and causing all this problem for the king because they were preaching about religious freedom. And, you know, there's so much of our history. Look at all of our national monuments. You know, you walk into the Supreme Court, look around at what's inscribed on the walls.
What about our money?
our money. Well, they're trying to take that off our money.
If you look back at the church in the center of a town, that also supplied the welfare for the indigents in the town. And when you supplied local welfare, you knew who was scamming the system and who wasn't. And if you're not going to work, you're not going to eat.
Well,
and,
that way of dealing with things lasted through my early lifetime. It was that way when I was young, and it would have been shameful to scam the system. It just wasn't done.
That's what I'm getting at here, is back then, a handshake and your word were good.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you can't trust anybody.
Now, wait a minute, Rick.
I'm serious.
No. Let's not get carried away here. There are people you can trust. They're not as many people as there once were, but we're not that far gone.
No, don't take me literally when I say that.
Not too many years ago, Raina was a real estate broker, and the biggest deals that she ever did were done on a handshake.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what I'm getting at there when I make that statement, you can't trust anybody. People that you think you know and think are your friends, oftentimes you find out when money comes into the picture or power, position, they're not really your friends.
That sometimes does happen, yes. I agree.
You know, I would like CCTA to undertake a program, and I think in a way we have kind of informally, of meeting some pastors and seeing if we could be instrumental in helping them and guide them through things like the training of the 5,000-year leap and things like that, and help pastors educate their members of their churches about the relationship, proper relationship between the church and government, as it's presented by our founders, instead of as it's been preached today in the school systems.
Right. Well, as Glenn pointed out, the Johnson Amendment, the one thing they need to understand, first of all, is the true meaning of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand there and promote morals and character and virtue, and you can be against different social issues.
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot call out a candidate's name and say, go vote for this candidate.
And there's been some testing of the system. When I was doing a little bit of research on this, there was a few churches in Texas, as I recall, and they actually taped their sermons
and sent them,
and they never heard back in any way that they did anything wrong.
Right.
They taped them. It was intentionally trying to determine what was in and what was out. And nothing, they were not told they did anything
Maybe
wrong.
Maybe what needs to be worked on is repealing that blasted Johnson Amendment.
Yes.
Because that is should not be allowed to stand.
The other part of this, too, is the church living up to its responsibility in impacting the culture? Because our elections are not unrelated to our culture.
Amen.
Well, I think not. I think many of the pastors have become weak-kneed, and they're afraid of losing members from their congregation if they take a particular stand. And it's all about the money. If people aren't there tithing, you can't build this big, nice church. So, yeah, I think they're not doing what they should be doing.
I'd like to interject. We were talking about this book, The 5,000-Year Leap, and a CCTA member has been writing articles on every one of the principles that are being published in the Beaufort Observer. So if anybody's interested, you can get a really easy to comprehend idea of what the book is about by following the Liberty Bell in the Beaufort Observer.
And it's also in the County Compass.
And it's available online.
Well, the Beaufort Observer, is that right?
Yeah, it's
usually
B
a section
the
within
compass.
The county compass.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a break so we can hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue this conversation in just a moment.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
Bite Me Firearms, crazy name for an outstanding gun shop. Bite Me Firearms carries a variety of guns. They handle transfers, have one-day on-site concealed carry training, do AR customization, and will put their gun prices against anyone within 50 miles. Bite Me Firearms, Old Cherry Point Road, New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next Gun and Knife Show will be at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville on Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree. S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is November 5th and 6th at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As we were talking earlier about the book, The 5,000-Year Leap and the 28 Principles of Liberty, and the corruption that is evident in today's society. And Mary, I think you've got a good example that you want to share with us.
Judicial Watch is reporting that the current administration is asking the law enforcement agencies to hire people and forgive drug use and criminal records of the candidates. Now, these are candidates for police officers.
Oh, Lord.
With drug problems and criminal records. I don't think we want to do that.
Absolutely not. Of course not.
So you're saying that we would lower the standards for accepting them in the police as a police officer. I would say that then we need to lower the standard for doctors and just say, you know, I'll take the bottom of the class to be my doctor, and we'll lower the standard so I get
it. No, thank you to both of the above.
Well, I understand that a lot of prisoners have been let out of prison because they're guilty of nonviolent drug violations, and they've just been released, and so also they're going to hire them to be police officers, I take it.
Well,
that just makes no sense.
How would we ever trust that justice is being done in a society if your policemen themselves have a checkered background? How would we know that they would arrest their buddy who used to...
I used to know you in the jail cell. Yeah.
I think we've got prime examples of that at the highest level in our Justice Department.
I've heard a lot of talk lately about the notion that Supreme Court justices should reflect the population across our country. That leaves wide open the notion, okay, a certain percentage of our population are criminals. We want criminal Supreme Court justices? And I don't think so. This whole idea is screwball. We need standards and people who can live up to them, fine. People who can't, fine. Let them self-select with their own choices.
Would you want someone, I mean, really, would you want someone without any kind of a legal background sitting on the Supreme Court? No.
Mm-mm.
That wouldn't make sense. You need people who are qualified, who can read the Constitution, and hopefully will follow it.
That is the one court that you don't have to be in the bar.
That court has been politicized. That's obvious. Let's get back to what started this conversation. I read the third principle of liberty. The most promising method of securing a virtuous and morally stable people is to elect virtuous leaders. And we've just pointed out a number of cases of where that hasn't happened. And a lot of these aren't even elected. They're appointed. But they're appointed by the leaders that we elected.
Well, let's talk about a moral issue. We've got the... Right now, there's so much going on about our House Bill 2. and we've got two candidates running for office of governor, opposite sides of the party. But they're also opposite sides of the ideology of what protection is. Well, I want to know what equal justice under the law would be for my rights if I don't choose to share a bathroom with a male.
Well, that's a good question. But the thing that really gets to me is how many hundreds of years we've gone without a problem with bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, because of the social agendas now, it's a problem.
That's part of the point I'm trying to make. You're taking an ideology and you're making it a platform to get elected on.
Right.
What direction are they taking us in? Why all of a sudden has this become a big issue?
You know where we're going?
Where?
Lowest common denominator. We are not having high standards anymore. We're not trying to be upwardly mobile. We're not trying to improve ourselves. Everything, because we're trying to cater to the lowest common denominator and trying to lower everybody down instead of raising up. And I think the way out has to do with the business of selecting candidates. The notion our founders had was observing people among us who are of good moral character and who exhibit qualities of leadership and drafting them to run and supporting them. We need to be doing more than that. We can dig ourselves out of this muck
pile. And you just made a point that I tried to make last week, and that is if you want the support of the legislators in that direction, you want them to go in that direction, and you need to get out and help get them elected there in these election periods.
Yes, the ones who, what they are talking about or have done in the past indicate that they're on track for doing the right thing.
Well, y'all exactly. Are going right down the path I wanted us to go down. We've identified some of the problems, and now we want to talk about what some of the solutions are. I think we'll all agree that overwhelmingly, our current administration is morally corrupt.
Absolutely.
At many levels. Not right. Everybody in it, but at many levels it is. Corruption at the local levels, right on up. It starts right here at home.
Certainly.
We're not immune to it. And the Constitution, talking about that, what can we do about it? That's the first question when you talk to people. They want to know, well, what can we do to change it?
One of the things we need to do is to talk to our state government about the notion of nullification and interposition. If the federal government insists on infringing on our rights, they need to say, no, not in North Carolina, you don't.
All right. Well, first of all, I think each and every individual needs to familiarize herself. If they haven't already done it, they need to study, they need to learn the Constitution of their state and the Constitution of the United States of America. Because let's look at going back here to the, I think it's the 17th principle. And the 17th principle is a system of checks and balances should be adopted to prevent the abuse of power. Okay? So our founders, in all their wisdom, put into place these checks and balances. As it turned out, the American founding fathers achieved a system of checks and balances far more complex than those envisioned. These include the following provisions. The House of Representatives serves as a check on the Senate, since no statute can become law without the approval of the House. Mm-hmm. Number two, at the same time, the Senate, representing the legislatures of states before the 17th Amendment, serves as a check on the House of Representatives, since no statute can become law without its approval. Number three, a president can restrain both the House and the Senate by using his veto to send back any bill not meeting with his approval. Number four, the Congress has, on the other hand, a check on the president by being able to pass a bill over the president's veto with a two-thirds majority of each house. Number five, the legislature also has a further check on the president through its power of discrimination in appropriating funds for the operation of the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, the president must have the approval of the Senate in filling important offices of the executive branch. Number seven, the president must also have the approval of the Senate before any treaties with foreign nations can go into effect.
Hmm. That's would getting have abused, guessed. Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Number 8, the Congress has the authority to conduct investigations of the executive branch to determine whether or not funds are being properly expended and the laws enforced. Number 9, the President has a certain amount of political influence on the legislature by letting it be known that he will not support the re-election of those who oppose his program. Number 10, the executive branch also has a further check on the Congress by using its discretionary powers in establishing military bases, building dams, improving navigable waters, and building interstate highways so as to favor those areas from which the President feels he is getting support by their representatives. The judiciary has a check on the legislature through its authority to review all laws and determine their constitutionality. The Congress, on the other hand, has a restraining power over the judiciary by having the constitutional authority to restrict the extent of its jurisdiction. And there's a few more, about Rick, six more.
I have a problem with one of those things you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a challenge to the way things have been done for quite some time, and that's this. I cannot believe that the founders intended for the Supreme Court, a portion of the federal government, to be the judge over whether or not it and other parts of the federal government are adhering to the Constitution, which was the compact made with them by the states.
Okay, I didn't get that out of what I read.
Okay.
So.
Well, you're talking about Madison versus Marbury.
Okay.
Which was the case, the case law.
In the federal, papers.
That put the Supreme Court in the position that I don't believe the founders intended them
exactly.
to be in.
Set the precedent.
I take umbrage with the notion of precedent. I think when things like that are being decided, we need to go back to the founding documents
yes.
and what was intended by them.
Mm-hmm.
Why assume that somebody at some prior time was so much more brilliant than we are today in looking at that and figuring it out?
Well,
that would put several hundred thousand lawyers out of business.
Yeah, what they've done is they've thrown out precedent that was established prior to the last few years.
Well, I don't like precedent of any sort when it's dealing with constitutional issues.
Right. Well, let me jump back to the point here.
Okay.
I'm going to jump all the way to the end, to the last one they've got listed here, number 18. The people have a check on their congressman every 2 years,
yes.
on their president every 4 years, and on their senators every 6 years, and that's the crux of what we're talking about here. Is we have the power to make the changes by electing virtuous, moral candidates. And we have failed miserably at doing that.
Yeah. We also have the need, I believe, for term limits.
Yes.
Because our founding fathers never planned for career politicians. They planned for people to serve for a couple of terms and then go live under the laws that they passed. And one of the best examples of this was a few years ago, George McGovern, who ran for president and had been in Congress for a number of years, opened a bed and breakfast in New England. And he had a miserable time with the regulations. And he said on the record, if I had known how much trouble these regulations would be, I wouldn't have passed them.
That's priceless.
That is karma in spades.
Yeah.
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 Well, getting back to those checks and balances, the founders that wrote the Constitution were brilliant in putting that together, I believe.
Yeah.
They tried to look at every angle and
Let me inject something. What I was thinking was, we've been talking about the checks and balances among the three branches of the federal government. Well, it doesn't end there. There is also the checks and balances that come from the people to the states to the federal government. It was intended that the states be jealous of their sovereignty and rein in the federal government. When we lost the 17th Amendment, whereby the state legislatures appointed the senators who represented the states, we lost that version of the balance. It was a significant loss, and we're paying for it big time right now.
And the states were expected to recall their senators if they didn't like the way they were behaving in Washington.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, yes. They represented the states, and it was set up so that they danged well better represent
exactly.
the states.
Well, the point I was trying to make to tie all this together, you've got all those checks and balances that were brilliantly conceived, but are rendered totally ineffective because we don't have a Congress that will exercise the rights they have. The purse strings.
Impeachment rights.
Right. They won't exercise those rights. Nobody is enforcing the checks.
And responsibilities. They are not living up to it.
Nobody's enforcing the checks and balances. So
we also have a Congress that has yielded their authority to various bureaucracies that write all of the procedures and policies and whatever else, and they blindly sign these things, not knowing what the real cost of them those are.
What about the special interests and the lobbying groups that have interjected so much money into a political agenda? If you look at an individual such as myself calling my senator or congressman with an issue and my $20 campaign donation, are they going to take my phone call or the one that gives them $20 million?
Exactly. And how come Blue Cross Blue Shields, that seems to be the only insurance company that operates in so many states, including North Carolina, there's got to be something wrong with the system that results.
I suggest we follow the money if you really want the answer.
It's incestuous. It's incestuous. Yes. When you connect the dots, as we're seeing over and over today, and until the people get mad enough to stand up and boot those guys out, nothing will change.
Well, that's the whole point. It all falls back on our shoulders.
Yeah.
One of the things that I remember being said, I don't remember who made the quote, but ours is a horrible form of government. However, it is much better than anything in second place.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the form of government, you know, with all this discussion about our government, I hate to let it pass. One of the things you read said a republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Ben Franklin replied to a woman and said, what form of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it.
Right.
We say our pledge to the flag.
To the republic.
To the republic for which it stands.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not,
and yet,
democracy.
Every time you hear somebody on the TV or anywhere else talking about our form of government, it's always democracy these days. Democracy, to me, is one step away from socialism.
Well, democracy is actually mob rule.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or, as I've heard it expressed, it's two wolves and a lamb deciding what's for lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is interesting discussion. We're hitting on a lot of points, but like I said just a moment ago, end result is it all falls back on our shoulders and our civic duty and responsibility to exercise our freedom, our right to vote, and to do that in a moral and virtuous way. We're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll pick up where we left off in just a moment.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next S&D Gun and Knife Show will be at the Craven County Fairgrounds in New Bern on Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is November 12th and 13th at the Craven County Fairgrounds in New Bern. Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, and if you've missed the first part of the show, we've been talking about government corruption and lack of morals in our elected officials, and who's responsible for that. And I think it's clear that we, the people, are responsible because we have failed to elect moral and virtuous representatives to go and fill these offices. And what can we do about that? Well, that's up to each of you as an individual. I would suggest that you do what our founding fathers did and turn to the supreme being and seek guidance and pray about it and do the best you can. It's going to take time to turn this ship, but it's something we can do if we put our mind to it. Now, we're in the midst of an election, Tuesday, Election Day. So we've got two more days. And folks, if you haven't made up your mind now, maybe something we've said today will encourage you to at least go and put forth the effort. I hope so. But we've got a lot of our members are working outside of the polls mm-hmm. for their representative parties and candidates. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that now. Mary, you've been outside the polls.
Voting was very heavy last week. It's been rather light this week, the times that I've been there. I've been downtown. And, of course, once the satellite voting places opened up, they took a lot of the load off downtown. But last week, downtown was very heavy voting.
Well, I know one thing. You talk about the satellite election sites. I've passed by a few of them in my travels, and there is no shortage of campaign signs. I can tell you.
Yes.
Rick, you just said something about prayer, and I certainly agree with that. People do need to pray, but on the other hand, they not only need to pray, they ought to get out and vote, and also they ought to educate themselves on who the people are who are running for the various offices and try to be informed about that. You'd be amazed at how many people have come through and say the only person I'm going to vote for is president. That's yeah. all. That's all they're interested in. And you got something like 60 candidates on that ballot.
I'm glad you brought that up, pal, because I had that thought a moment ago and it left me. One of the big parts of CCTA is education.
Right.
And educating people through our vetting reports that we have online, where we vet all the candidates. We Absolutely. Ask all of them the same question, and mm-hmm. then we post their responses.
Mm-hmm. We ask questions like, where do our individual rights come from? And, of course, we appreciate it when they say from God, or if we have natural rights, uh-huh. rights I mean. When they start saying it comes from the government or even from the Constitution, they're a little bit off. We'll ask questions like, who is your favorite founder to try to get of the founding fathers to try to get some insight into those kind of things of what how much they know about it or who's your favorite president, things like that. And Kim was just talking about one of the questions she feels like brings out where a person stands according to our mission statement. What was the one you were just mentioning, Kim?
About it's about the Constitution, and do you believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing document and it should change with the times in our current population, or do you believe it is as the founders intended it in a document that is not to be changed, altered, or misinterpreted? And I can tell you from a personal perspective that anybody thinks it's a living, breathing document automatically loses my vote.
Right. If you want to see some of those answers, you can go to cctaxpayers.com and look at the vetting tab.
Right. And, you know, that one of the biggest problems with the electorate today is they get their information from the media.
For one
Who
side.
Doesn't know that the media is just as corrupt and just as lopsided as it can be now? That there's hardly any truth. The same moral issues that we have throughout society are in the media.
And I've heard about the polling, all this polling you hear. They say that they're far apart or that so-and-so is in a great lead and the rest of them ought to just give up. They're trying to influence the outcome. Mm-hmm. And then we heard that as you get closer to the actual election date, they start trying to get it a little more narrow and become a little more accurate because they want to be able to say afterwards, I told you so, you know, I told you so-and-so was going to win. But at the beginning, in the early stages, they're all trying their best to have an effect on the outcome.
And, yeah. Right.
And that's one of the differences in today's society and the way things were at the founding of our country. The people that came here and founded this country had a thirst for education, and many of them were self-educated.
Ben Franklin.
Right.
Absolutely.
They didn't have radio and TV, and usually the news that they got in a newspaper was months old.
That's why we have a representative government.
Right. But people nowadays don't take the time to research and study the facts and to educate themselves. History's not being taught like it used to be. Economics isn't being taught.
But in fairness to everybody and everything, what we have found out through the CCTA and through our education committees, this goes even all the way to the legislators. Everybody has so much on their plate. Everybody relies on a summary report. What is telling is where does that summary report come from? Like for the school board, if you're not at the State Board of Education meetings and you get a summary report on what happened there, well, who wrote that report and what was their agenda?
Right.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when I was in the real estate business, I always wanted to write the contract. There's power in that. And you could slip in things subtly that change the course of history in relation to that particular deal or situation.
And it's so corrupt that you've got sites that purport to be fact-checked. Like Snopes. And they've discovered now that, you know, no. They're just as biased.
May I make a politically incorrect observation, but it's cheerful?
Well, as Abe Lincoln once said, don't trust anything you read on the internet.
Right. We were talking about working at the polls a little earlier. And I've been working outside the polls quite a bit during early voting. The people in the current administration seems to me and their supporters have tried very hard to separate people into segments of society.
Yeah.
Blacks this, Hispanics this,
right.
Women that. Well, I made a conscious decision that I was not going to base whom I approached on how they looked, what group they seemed to belong to. And in doing that, I have talked to some people who are conservative who don't look like they would be. For example, a young black woman, very attractive, with about a three-year-old child by the hand, I approached and offered information about conservative candidates. She broke out into a smile about a yard wide, thanked me, and took it. Someone came up right behind me and offered her a slate of Democrat candidates. And she said, no, thank you, ma'am, I'm a Republican. Well, that is not according to their playbook. They think they have isolated that group. I have spoken to people with Spanish accents, some of whom have been very receptive to the notion of a conservative group of people being in office in our government. We are more homogenized than the pundits would have us believe. We need to come together with things that are good, not for blacks, not for Hispanics, not for women, not for purple polka-dotted yahoos. We need to come together with a candidate election that are people who want things that are good for our citizens. And our commonality is much, much bigger than our differences. We all need to have a rising tide lifts all the ships. We need an economy where the ships are rising. Everybody will get their share. Anybody willing to work, not the lazy beds, but Americans historically aren't lazy people.
Well, that goes back to what we started this conversation with. If you select virtuous, moral candidates, that's what you're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm. Back to Rainer's discussion, you know what a racist is? It's a conservative winning a discussion with a liberal. That's what you get called if that happens.
Well, Glenn, how do you see the election going now? Do you feel encouraged that people are participating at the level they should, or do we still have our work cut out for us in getting people to get out and vote?
Well, I think clearly we should never be satisfied. We want to get every single person out to vote that we can. And, you know, I guess I'm hopeful that through this whole process, we find ourselves energizing people and engaging people and having them understand that being a citizen isn't a spectator sport. And right. They'll realize that they had something to do with something bigger than themselves. And if we get to that point and somebody's in office and they aren't able to get the work done through the people of the Congress, and they've got ideas that's good for the citizens, I hope they go to the citizens.
Right.
And they have the bully pulpit, they go to the citizens and say, I need your help. And we go from the grassroots up and drive it back through those people we can affect with our vote and our elections. Yeah. So it's kind of forward-looking. I'm optimistic that this will end up having a huge impact on energizing the base and actually having the government begin working bottom-up, driving the issues, and I'm optimistic. I'm a glass-half-full person. Mm. I'm very optimistic, but I'm not going to quit working.
So well said, Glenn. Well said.
If we go back to our founding documents and try to encourage sticking with the principles in those founding documents, sticking with the principles in the 5,000-year leap that our rights are not given by a constitution or by a federal agency or whatever else, but our rights are God-given.
And Amen. and our government's job primarily is to protect them.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, what Glenn had to say was very, very good. I think one of the positive ways that people can affect the change that you would like to see is by getting out and exercising their right, of course.
It's not a right, it's an obligation. It's their duty.
Right, I agree with that. But to put aside the R's and put aside the D's and the G's and the L's and whatever other whatever other party affiliations there might be out there. Because we've gotten into that too far. There's too many people that vote straight party tickets. Too many people that vote because that's the way Granddaddy voted. And too many people that aren't examining the candidates for themselves. They're going off a list somebody shoves in their face.
Well, let me sort of take a different contrarian opinion about part of that.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
I would.
She's good at that.
The parties have platforms. And if somebody is a member of a party, they and when in office, they are strongly influenced by that party.
Or should be.
Should be.
Should be, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you are in agreement with a particular party's platform, or the biggest portion of it, then it might be a good idea to use that party affiliation as a tool.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Okay.
But what I'm going to say is, what I'm talking about is you need to educate yourself on the candidate. Just because they've
yes,
got
sir.
A R or a D beside their name is not educating yourself.
Gotcha.
You need to find out, are they adhering to the platform?
Agreed.
Hold them accountable to the platform.
Right.
I want to hold them accountable to the Constitution.
Hear, hear.
I see so much legislation done that I can't help but ask, where's the constitutional authority to that? Since when are we legislating morality instead of protecting our borders?
And we've gotten so out of hand in our legislation that there have been incidents around the country over the years of police shutting down little kids' lemonade stands.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Lord, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you want to know where you start right here at home. There's an excellent book out there. It's called Restoring America, One County at a Time.
Mm-hmm. Here, here.
And if you'll start at home in your hometown, in your own county, getting involved with the watchdog group here at CCTA.
We're attending, all trying to do that.
Attending the aldermen's meetings, attending the commissioner's meetings, and school board meetings.
And going to Raleigh.
And holding them accountable. Look back at the vetting report and say, well, wait a minute. When you were vetted, you said this, and now you're contrary to that. That's how you get it done. That's how you've got to do it.
Rick,
grassroots level.
Also, you, as you were just saying, we need to remember to go up and down ballot all the way. Both sides of our ballot need to examine the positions of people on both sides of that ballot.
That's right. And you need to educate yourself on our form of government, on our founding documents. A lot of people think, wow, the Supreme Court said so, so that's the guy. No, Supreme Court doesn't make laws.
Or they shouldn't.
Theoretically.
No, they issue opinions. They look at it and say, our opinion is.
Well, if we are reticent and don't speak up and don't speak out, we enable them to do what they are not authorized to do. So, it, again, it's partly our fault, but that means we can do something about
it.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. We have too many agencies that the government, the federal government, really doesn't have the authority to have. You know, the Constitution is really clear about what the federal government's powers are.
Enumerated powers.
Right.
And it has a terrible effect on our capitalistic form of government. And then Mary has one heck of a good example there she was just talking to us about.
George McGovern.
Yes. Right. Well, we'll get to that when we come back from this break.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Mary, you had a quote from McGovern, I think it was?
George McGovern, after he left Congress, opened a bed and breakfast. And he wrote a 1992 Wall Street Journal column about the experience. And this is what he said. In 1988, I invested most of the earnings from the lecture circuit, and I acquired the lease on Connecticut Stratford Inn. The Stratford Inn promised the realization of a longtime dream to own a combination hotel, restaurant, and public conference facility, complete with an experienced manager and staff. In retrospect, I wish I had known more about the hazards and difficulties of such a business, especially during a recession of the kind that hit New England just as I was acquiring the lease. I also wish that during the years I was in public office, I had had this firsthand experience about the difficulties business people face every day. That knowledge would have made me a better senator and a more understanding presidential contender. And he talks about the regulations and the fact that he was writing regulations from the perspective of a senator and not from a business owner.
And that's a problem that we still suffer from today.
Yes.
Well, folks, it's been a great conversation today. I think we touched on a lot of good points, but the main point we were talking about today is getting out and voting for virtuous and moral candidates. That's the only way our country's going to survive. It's the only way we're going to turn this ship and change things and get it back on track. And in order to do that, you need to educate yourself. And you can do that at cctaxpayers.com. Look at the vetting reports. And also, you can look for the next class that we're going to have on book study, like the 5,000-year leap. or you can go to our contact page and request information, or come to our monthly meeting, the third Tuesday of every month, or all of the above, actually. We'd love to see you and have conversation with you. And if you have a different opinion than what we've espoused here today, we'd love to hear about that also. You might change our mind if we can't change yours. See you again next week on CCTA Wake Up Call.